Lord, and that's what we want, and that's what we sing, and that's what how we worship God. And I pray that you would put that in our hearts, and God, it would be as real in our lives as it is in our worship. And Lord, that you would just move on us tonight, God. I pray that you would just speak just so clearly into hearts, God. And Lord, it's different tonight, but we know that you've got something to say to every person, Lord. We know that you have a message for every heart and for every life. And Lord, we pray that we would be open to hear that tonight, God. We thank you for your power, Lord, for your presence here, Jesus, and just for what you're doing in this place, God, and what you're doing around the world, Lord. And God, yeah, we want to be a part of it for your glory. Amen? Amen. Awesome. How good is that? Just grab a seat real quick. We're doing the offering triple threat again tonight. So before Tony comes up, Parkinson style, we're going to do a faith promise. So if you're ready with your faith promise, I don't have a card thingy. Does someone have a card thingy? So if you've got one of these on your seat, or maybe you took one home last week and you filled it out, make sure you do that. You can still put these in later if you want, like... Just because you miss out, if you miss tonight, doesn't mean you're banned. Like, it's all good. So make sure you do that. Dad was saying that from this morning, we're now up to 39,000 for our budget, which is incredible. So, but I know that there is just so much more to do. And honestly, we could have a budget of $1 million for the year and still find more things that we needed more for to do the work of missions. So get there and write on this. So what you can do is you can rip off that top section. And you keep that, and it says my promise, and you write in how much, and that way, like, you remember. And then in this bottom section, you put in this offering. Now, if you're ready with your faith promise, like you've actually got the cash with you, there are faith promise envelopes, so you can put it in that, and you can put it in this offering as well. And so this is going to be happening on the first Sunday of every month, faith promise. And I just encourage you not to just be like, oh, I'll write down a nice amount, but like, it's a promise of faith. And so it's like, so you say, God, what do you want me to do? What is going to stretch me and stretch my faith? What is that step where you're asking me to jump in terms of my missions giving, and get behind that? So I'm going to pray, and these guys are going to come around with that. So if you need a second to write this stuff in, then you've got 1 second. God, I just thank you for faith promise, and God, just for the significant things that you are doing in the world, and that we are able to partner with when we step out in faith. And God, I pray that you'll just bring blessing to every person that will make that step, Lord, and make that step of faith. And God, that you would just have your hand on this offering, and month to month, week to week, God, that as we step out in faith, Lord, we know you will provide. So we just thank you for this offering in your name. Amen. Awesome. All right, well, we're almost ready for the interview. I think these need to go forward, yeah, a little bit. These guys are going to play something. I don't know what they're playing. There you go. Keep it down low. You need some helper roadies, Josh. All right. So I want everybody to stand up. Stand up. You don't have to so clap. But I want you to give Tony Higgs a huge hand as he comes up here and talks to us tonight. You can sit down. They're getting here with a microphone. Thanks, guys. So as you can see up on the screen is a phone number. The guys gave the game away and told you all that it was my phone number. Please don't send me messages at 2 a.m. or something like that, just to be smart. We're not all up with the... Malcolm, if you do, I have your number and I'll know that it's from you. And then I'll call you every morning. I'll like set an alarm or something. Anyway, so text your questions through. They're going to go up to the back. I don't have my phone on me so that I didn't get like beeps all the time. So the guys will veto the questions and then throw them up at the screen at appropriate times. So if there's something that Tony says that maybe sparks a question, then text it through, or maybe you've been, there's something you've been thinking like all week and you'd be like, oh, I just need to ask this. So send those through. So there we go. Let's get into it. So g'day. So Tony, just before, as we get in, do you want to just tell us a bit about yourself and what, just about you and Annette?
Anything?
Just anything. Just a bit of a general introduction, because there are people who've probably never met you before.
I could tell you where we met.
Sounds good.
How's that? Is that a good start? Well, I got saved at this church in Brisbane, and I was about 24 years of age, and I was sort of in the top end of the youth, but they said to me, oh, you want to come along to the youth group? I went along, and there was this girl playing the piano. And so I figured out how to meet her, and boy, where's this going to go, Annette? And that's where we met. And before long, we were hanging out, and I think when we got married, Annette had just turned 19.
There you go.
There you go. There's a little bit.
Yeah. So so now we go, you were saying 30 years from that time, which is awesome. What are you doing now, for people who don't know?
Just in life in
just
general?
Just generally.
Okay, so.
Just what are you doing?
So we're in Thailand, and we've been there coming on 22 years, and we're living on the west coast of South Thailand in a Muslim area, predominantly Muslim. We live in a Muslim village, and we're working in another village about 20 minutes drive north of there. And we're about 7 kilometres north of a little town, and that's where we live. And
we've got a question up on the screen. How did you propose? They're just going to interrupt us with questions, apparently. That wasn't what we agreed on earlier.
How are we going?
You can answer this one quickly, or we can keep going, maybe. Can you see it? It's down on here as well.
You want me to go with that? Yeah.
Why not?
Just how did I propose? I didn't go down on one knee, did I? Ooh. I didn't go down one knee. Was it in front of your mother's house? It was in front of your mother's. I knew it. I knew it.
Should we get an ad up to tell this story?
Yes, I got one right. In front of my mother's house. And it was obvious where this thing was going, because I had probably a few months into getting saved, I'd been reading the scriptures, and I must have read Matthew 28:18-20, you know, the Great Commission, Jesus commissioning his disciples. And I thought, yeah, the whole world, tell everybody about this, because I'd been marvellously saved out of a really dodgy sort of, probably like a lot of people out there in the world. And God had just got me. And it was a complete turnaround, marvellously saved.
This is just interruption centre tonight.
Great.
Oh, thanks, guys. Look at that. Coffee on the stage.
Oh. Excuse me.
Well done, boys. I'll have a drink. I'm actually getting quite warm with that
light.
That's
good. That's good.
That's all right.
And then there'd been a speaker in the church that had been preaching about missions. In fact, I think there might have been two. There might have been a missionary that was preaching on missions, and then there was the director of the World Missions Program in Australia. He had spoken, and I just felt this call. I just felt this. Hey, let's bring it down to normal talk. I just felt this urge to want to take the gospel to the whole world. I mean, I just wanted to get out there. I looked around Australia and I thought, man, the church is everywhere here. What about those who don't get to hear it? So I had this urge in me to want to go. And I found out that in the youth group there are only two girls that felt that way. Oh, wow. And the other girl was a nurse. And I talked to her, and I thought, no. just wasn't right, you know. You know what I mean, guys and girls, you know that deal. And she was a nice girl, but it was just, there was nothing there. There was no chemistry. There was nothing. It just didn't feel right. And Annette, and I chatted with her, and I thought, this is going somewhere. And so it was building up to a proposal, I suppose, as we got to know each other and the same kind of calling, because Annette just felt God was calling her to go overseas and do missions, and that's, and so the proposal sort of progressed fairly quickly, and out it came, and whew, lucky for me, she said yes.
So that's fantastic. So both of you, like, already in your lives felt that call for missions, and that was one of the questions I was actually going to ask a bit later, was how did that work, I guess, and you've kind of answered a lot of that. Knowing, I guess, as young people, when we feel the call of God or God telling us to do something, like, to trust Him with that, like you have, and then to have Him provide everything, which is, that's fantastic. So why, I guess, like, why did you end up in Thailand? Like, if we take it way back, what stopped you just kind of, I don't know, doing what you were doing, getting a normal job, going through life?
So this urge to tell people about Jesus beyond the shores of Australia just kept coming. It didn't ever ease up, and I didn't push it away. I never pushed it away. I just thought, yeah, come on, let's do this. Where is it? What is it? And so I kept encouraging it. I would start reading stuff on missions. I'd start going to mission conferences or whatever. I just started feeding myself with it. And I thought, well, where would I go? Mm. And I thought, well, to your neighbours. Who's our neighbours? Pacific Island. Oh, I understand they've heard the gospel a trillion times over. Yeah, I mean, this is my reasoning. Yeah. And I thought, Indonesia. Oh, Indonesia. And so I checked out Indonesia, Muslim. Oh, I've got to take the gospel to the Muslims. It's Indonesia. And then I found out that you couldn't get in there as a missionary. Oh, okay. You had to go in another way. And so that kind of just threw me, and I thought, well, where do we go after Indonesia? And I thought, Thailand. Oh, maybe Thailand. I didn't know. And then a friend of mine, actually the guy who, when I got saved in this church in Brisbane, and they had this call to the front, stand in the front, those who want to become Christians, and it had happened to me a week earlier at my parents' home. We'd come on Sunday. This was the first time I'd been in church in 10 years, and I came down the front, and this guy met me, and his name was Ross Winchester, and he's a missionary in China. In fact, the church is connected in some way with Ross. Anyway, but anyway, Ron has. Is connected with him in some of the China connections. And so Ross met me, and later on he went off to Thailand as a missionary. And on one of his furloughs back, it might have been his first furlough back, he rang me and he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, Annette and I want to go to a country and be missionaries there. He says, have you thought about Thailand? I said, yeah. He said, well, think about that.
Oh, great.
So it was just sort of very natural.
There was no
Damascus Road stuff, shining light, it was just a natural progressive thing.
Sure.
The things came to me. I got burdened for countries, and it sort of slowly narrowed down over time until that's where it ended up being.
Cool. So you're talking there a lot about feeling an urge and a burden, and I'm just wondering if you could kind of describe what that is, I guess, so that, because I think a lot of the time we can feel like God's telling us to do something, but it's hard to be sure and it's hard to be clear. So maybe, like, guys, I'll ask for the questions, and you can. Thanks, it's all right.
Okay, so identifying the urge.
Yeah, what is that? What's
that urge? It's something that doesn't go away. I think it comes like a thought. It comes like a concern. It starts as a concern, and it doesn't go away. It keeps building. It's like a concern. You know, maybe I should do this. Maybe I need to be involved in that. And then there's this act of surrender where you get on your knees and you say, God, if that's where you're taking me, take me. Take me. Shut other doors. Keep that one open. I'm going to run with this urge until you snatch it away from me.
Yeah.
And that's always been how I felt led by God. It's that there's a concern. There's something in my heart that says, you know, that needs to be addressed, or think about that. And I'll follow it and I'll say, God, remove it if it's not you. If it is, increase it and shut the other doors.
Yeah.
And I've stepped out and gone. And I thought that God is a loving Father. He doesn't frustrate us. Mm-hmm. He doesn't let us think that we're going in the direction He wants us to go and then stop us down the track and go, well, you're an idiot. I never told you that. Where'd you get that from, you know? I believe in taking a step and getting started. And if it's not God, in that he'll way, God will take you there and there and there and He'll direct you.
Yeah, great. That's
so great. It's a sort of thing that, for me, it builds. It has never come as a flash of light. It's never come as an audible voice or jump out the page or anything. It's just been something to start off with a concern. It's built to an urge. It's built to a burden. I've followed it through and being really fair to him and saying, I don't care if this leads off the edge of the cliff. If God's in it, he's gonna take me.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's great. So you took the jump and you guys sold up and you moved to Thailand. What was that like? Just those first time that you did that and those first few little bits?
It was a mix of exhilaration and fear. I'll be blunt and honest with you. There was a sense of fear in it. There was a sense of exhilaration. Mm. But there was, in the foundation of it, there was a sense of peace.
Yeah.
Because we knew it was God. But we just thought, how hard is this going to be?
Yeah,
sure. What's going to happen? It's just the unknown.
Yeah.
It's that feeling of, I don't know what's out there. And I think God wants us to be like that. Because when we don't know, when it feels unknown, we have to rely on Him.
Yeah.
And that's how God wants us all the time.
Yeah.
Relying on Him.
Yeah.
Stepping out where it's just a bit beyond us and now we have to rely on Him. That's the reason we pray. We pray because we say, can't do it. Yeah. God, help. That's what prayer is all about.
Yeah.
It's crying out because I can't do it. Yeah, and it's an act of surrender. And so,
so
there was this exhilaration about selling up, although we had a house that we were paying off and we decided to put tenants in it. And so, but we sold off all the contents and gave everything away and boxed up a whole lot of stuff in these tea chests nailed together and put on a ship and sent off to Thailand. And I mean, cups and saucers, and we were going there for this is the rest of
this
life,
it,
sort of
thing,
because we didn't feel like it was a short term. We never thought in terms of short term.
Yeah.
What I call drive-by mission. and that's not a shot at anyone who goes on short terms. It's probably a shot on those people who think that's the only way to do it.
Yeah,
and I know
good.
You guys don't think that, so I can say that.
Yeah.
But some people think the only way to do it, you just do little short bits.
Yeah.
And so we only ever thought in terms of long term. When we didn't know when we were coming back.
Yeah.
We thought probably when all the kids have finished school, we're going to have to come back for something. And we didn't know what any of it looked like. And so there was this sense of exhilaration. We're going. This is it. We're selling off. Then there was all the feelings of sadness and whatever. And one day I was up on this mountain and I was seeking God. A pastor, Alan Davies, had phoned me and said, I've got a church plant I'd like you to come and pastor for us. It's brand new and will you consider it? And I went up in the mountains, I took my Bible, and I stayed there from morning till night. And I cried out to God, and I read the scriptures, and I read them over and over and over. And before nightfall, I said, Lord, I'm not leaving until I know what I'm meant to do. And the feeling was so strong, missions, not church plant in Australia. Now, this is for me. And so when it finally hit me, it felt too much. At that moment, I thought, oh, jings, this is going to be hard. how am I going to, oh, God, I can't do this. This is what I felt like. Yeah. And in the scrub was this huge tree that had fallen down, and it was a really big tree. I mean, the girth of it was about that thick, and you had to climb over it. And I got up, and I thought, I'm going to go to the top of this hill. And there was this huge tree there, and I said, Lord, what you want me to do is like going to the top of this hill, which is not that far off, but look at this massive tree in my way.
Yeah.
And they're all the reasons why I don't know whether I can do this. Because I don't know what's going to happen out there. And I don't know whether I want to leave family behind now that it's come to the crunch. And as hard as it is to get around this tree, this is going to be our... And I started walking. And before I knew it, I was on the other side of the tree. And I looked back and thought, heck, I got over that easy. And it felt like God was saying, I'll take you through every one of them.
Yeah, great.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah, that's amazing. Awesome. That's great. All right, well, let's... if we've got some text questions, maybe we'll flog over to that for a second. There you go. What was the journey like to learn and fit into the Muslim culture and lifestyle? Maybe you can start. I think I saw one before that had something about language. Maybe you start there, and that's kind of general tie, and then go into the Muslim specifically.
Okay. And as I shared this morning... the first thing we had to do when we arrived, we had two little boys, a three-year-old and a six-year-old. Larissa wasn't born yet, and I had to find a place to live, and it took us like 8 weeks. It was, other people found a house in 2 weeks. We just couldn't find a place, and we were living in people's rooms and stuff, and it was just wearing us out. We finally got a place, and then off to language school. And it started off okay, but I think by the second week, I had these incredible pains in the side. They turned out to be kidney stones. And I lost a few days in language school, and it just set me back. And I thought, I'm not going to get this down. This is an amazing language, and we're learning something like 20 or 30 new words every day. So you get 20, 30 new words, and the next day another 20, 30, and the next day another 20, and it was like a force feeding program.
Yeah.
It was just the school we went to, and everybody was struggling through this. And at the coffee break, all the girls were going down the toilets and crying their eyes out, and all the guys were sort of just building up. And when language school had finished, it went from 8 till 12 each day. We'd get in our cars and drive home. We would run over someone. You know, yeah, go and walk out in front of me. It was pepped up with anger and all this stuff, because it was just tough learning this language. Yeah. The requirements in our mission at the time were that you had to have completed and passed grade 6 exam language schools, like 6 years of language. Yeah. We had to do it in 1 year.
Yeah.
And we had to sit this exam. And we all got through. And it was a wonderful feeling. But there were these times where I thought, I'm not going to get this down. And everyone says no one fails, but I'm going to be the first one. And it's going to be me. And I don't get this down, well, you just go home, don't you? You can't stay here and not speak the language. And it was just eating me out. But God kept saying, trust me, trust me. I called you here. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to give you what you need.
Yeah,
and
great.
He did. And so that was the language part.
Yeah.
We didn't get involved in the Muslim work until we'd been there about 8 years. I think it was about 95, 96, 7, 8 years. Mm. And when we made the shift from working with the existing church, and they were converts from Buddhism. We were involved in church planting, had a couple of church plants, a training school, training up church planters, leadership development, visiting all the Thai pastors in the south in the Assemblies of God, and encouraging them and running seminars and all kinds of stuff, prison ministry and it came to a crossroads in our ministry, and God just led us very naturally across into the Muslim work, and that was about 95, 96, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I'm picking up that it's just always just God's told you to do something, so you do it, and you let Him lead you through no matter where that takes you. And I think that's an amazing thing, and something I know that's a huge challenge for me and I guess for everybody to always do that. So it's great.
A lot of the shifts in direction were really natural to us. Like we're in Bangkok, and the idea was to spend 2 years in Bangkok, go to language school, learn all that stuff, get involved in some church activity, help the local Thai church, and then figure out where you'll do your third year, which will be the end of your first term, come back to Australia for 6 months, furlough, and then go back for your second term and get into that area where God was leading you. And so in our second year, I decided to go to the, what was it called, the EFT, Evangelical Fellowship of Thailand, head office. And I went and saw the boss, and all the mission agencies are under this Evangelical Fellowship of Thailand umbrella. And I went in there to see the bigwig, and I said to him, "Where is the gospel least preached?" Yeah. Oh, he said, "Well, it's the south." So I walked down there and said, "We're going south." And I don't know why, but we always felt like we've got to go where no one's getting it.
Yeah.
And so it was Thailand first, and then it was the south.
Yeah.
And then 95, 96, it was the Muslims.
Yeah.
They're not getting it at all, or hardly at all.
Yeah.
And that's how it went.
And
I don't know how that works. Okay, that's the hardest. We're going to go there. I'm sure if it wasn't God, he would have stopped us. Because we're on our faces before God.
Yeah.
And it was God, we don't care where it is, whatever you say.
Yeah.
And that's how God led us.
That's great. It's just, I know that sounds so simple when you say it like that, but it can't have been easy to make all of those choices in terms of just the practical nature of going somewhere where you know it's dangerous, where you know... So what makes you just continually do those things that in the natural you would just say, no, that's too hard?
I don't know, Andrew. I mean, I don't know why we kept going with that. I don't know if I had some stupid bent towards dangerous things. I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I don't want to jump out of a plane like we saw at lunchtime today. I don't want to do that. I don't want to bungee jump. No, I don't. I don't know why. All I can think of is that it must be the Spirit of God working and pulling us. So this was just our journey.
Yeah.
We ran into some missionaries who were working for the Campus Crusade for Christ, and we met them down in Phuket, and we knew them from when we were in Hat Yai in the very south. And he said to us, you're up there in those Muslim villages. I said, yeah. And he says, I don't know how you do that. And I thought, well, we just did it. I mean, we didn't really think about it a whole lot, you know.
It was.
I think that after a while, you just think, well, I work for God. I'm His child.
Yeah.
And I might be an electrician and think the same. I belong to God. And hey, if He put this thing together, this universe. And it could be like a grain of sand in his hand, and he could just squash it at will, which he could. Then I could trust him with anything.
Yeah, that's good.
But I think as the brother who prayed for the offering, that guy that got up before,
Zach.
Man, that was good, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's the little steps, and I think you start off with little steps. And like the made up story this morning, it's the little jump first, and Dad catches me. And you keep doing that. The jump gets bigger and bigger, and you step out further and further. So it's a progressive thing until up to the Muslim area. Let's go.
Yeah.
Well, you could die up there. Yeah. Then what? Heaven forever? I was going there anyway. You know.
Great.
And I suppose if I ever had any reservation, it was I got three kids. And I really don't want to, God, if it's okay with you, I don't really want to die yet because I've got kids growing up and I don't want them, I couldn't stand the thought of them being without a dad.
Yeah.
They're real thoughts.
Yeah,
they're real thoughts.
Definitely.
And I don't want to leave my wife without a husband. But whatever.
Yeah.
Well. That's the three Jewish... Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We won't bow down to the image. You can chuck us in the fire. God will rescue us. But if He doesn't, we still won't bow down.
Yeah. Right.
But I think you don't just jump there in one hit.
Yeah.
I think there's a progression of things.
Yeah, it's not straight in the deep end. It's that built up of trust in God over time that allows you. That's great. Have we got any more text questions? What's one of your life verses? Do you have a life verse?
Verse.
I guess if
yeah.
I might just explain that real quickly. I guess like for me and for a lot of people, I guess there are verses that you read in the Bible that really stick out for you and that you really try and live your life by. So is there any particular things for you that are like that?
They keep changing.
I have this verse that has so much meaning for me, and then I come across another one. Yeah. And a number of years ago, I wasn't real good in reading a lot of the Bible. I went through a dry period, yeah. And I read the scriptures, but I didn't. There wasn't a passion for it, and God really dealt with me. In that a number of circumstances happened which brought me to my knees in a big way. And Annette and I then decided we were going to read right through the Bible every year. So we started on a program, yeah. And we start off in four different places and we progressively go through those four. So you have four readings a day.
Yeah.
And it probably takes about half an hour, but by the end of the year you've read right through the whole Bible. And it's absolutely fantastic. And so going through like that, I've come across special verses that, yeah. that keep changing. And I think the latest one is in Romans 3 because it's just blowing me away at the moment of what God does. Should I read it?
Yeah, go.
As soon as I said Romans, I thought to myself, oh, this is going to sound pretty heavy. You know what Romans is like. And it can. Everyone's going, oh, Romans. And I just picked up on it the other day, and it just became special. Romans 3, you know Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift. Oh, I thought, oh, it's just amazing. You can't earn this thing. It's just given to you. It's out of the blue. God comes up and says, here,
yeah.
You're born again. And, of course, all that happens at that moment. Mm. Why me? Just a gift. I never sought for it. And then it says, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, it comes because of Jesus, whom God put forward. And here's one of those words. Whom God put forward as a propitiation. Ugh. Not one of those words again. What's that mean? And it's the idea of taking the weight of his wrath. Mm-hmm. That's how I understand propitiation. Whom God put forward to take the weight of God's wrath toward me because I'm a wicked sinner. I shook my finger at God and said, God, I will not have you rule over me. I'm my own boss. Rebellion. And God says, here's righteousness. You die for that. Everyone dies for that.
Yeah.
So God's wrath is on me. Jesus takes the weight of it. And so I just thinking about this the other day, and it's just amazing. Whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. In other words, he died. So he takes away the God's wrath by giving his own life. Mm-hmm. And it's to be received by faith. And this was to show God's righteousness. Because if some guy goes before the judge as a murderer and he's just slipped open with a knife and stabbed to death. I'm trying to make this as gruesome as I can. Three little girls who are all sisters of a family.
That's pretty gruesome. Yeah.
This is gruesome. And he's standing before the judge and the parents are there, still in shock. It happened a year ago. It's taken all this time. And they're looking at this guy who did it. And all the evidence shows he did it. And in fact, he's even admitting it. And the judge says, oh, I tell you what, we'll just let him go.
Yeah.
How would you feel about that? That's not justice.
No.
That's not righteous. That's not justice. What sort of a judge does that? So if God was just to let us all go, just sweep it under the carpet, you've rebelled against me, you're shaking your finger at me, you say, I won't come under your reign as a king. I'm not going to do it. And God, oh, that's all right. That's not righteous. Someone has to get punished for that. And this is the deal. Jesus steps up and says, I take it.
Yeah.
I'll take the full weight of that. And so It says, and are justified by his grace through the redemption whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received. And this was to show God's righteousness. God says, that's righteous. Someone else has got to take it. The judge has to say, someone's got to pay for this. These three little girls, someone's got to pay for that. So when someone pays, okay, now it's just.
Yeah.
So I just been thinking about this and thinking how it's mind-boggling to me how God has averted his wrath on me by putting his son there to take the full fury of his wrath.
Yeah.
Just for me.
That's right.
Nothing I did.
Yeah.
Just picked out of the crowd. You're getting saved.
Yeah.
Gee. I'll do anything. Mm. I'll go to Thailand.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I'll whatever, God.
Mm, that's great. That's fantastic. So just we're basically out of time, but it goes quick, eh? Just finally, I guess, there are a lot of people here who maybe are young, like teenagers or young adults, and we're trying to figure out just what do you do when you finish school, when you finish uni, whatever, with your life, or maybe feel either feel called to a mission field or just feel God trying to do something or just searching for direction. Is there anything that you would say to those people?
Yeah. God, this is what I believe. God creates us with a vocation, a calling. You can call it a calling, you call it a vocation. Same thing. Same Greek word, same Latin. And so he's gifted us. It's just we're born with it. We're born with gifts. And we just got to follow them. That's all there is to it. And that's our calling. That's your calling, whatever your gift is. Electrician, plumber, engineer, doctor, cleaner. And that's your calling. And that's what you do. And you just do it. And I said to my son, Reuben, who's an electrician, I said, son, that's your calling. God's called you as an electrician. And something may change down the track to do something else. But at the moment, that's your calling, that's your gifting, that's what you're good at. Now, wherever you are, just live your Christian life. Just your values are on another level from everyone else around you. They're just on another level. You think of life completely different. Your values are different, and you've got to live it. And just let it come out. And share Christ wherever you are. That's your mission field where God puts you. That's your calling. Yeah. That's how you live it. And so whether you're called to go as a missionary, to be a pastor, to be a bricklayer, to be an engineer, whatever it is, go do it. Do it for Jesus.
Yeah.
Say, I'm going to do this to make Jesus look absolutely fantastic. Mm. So people are going to say, Jesus is something. Look at this way this guy lives.
Yeah, great.
That's what you've got to do.
Fantastic. There you go. Thank you very much. Let's give him a hand. Eh? Yeah. Thank you. That's great. Awesome. Sorry if we didn't get to all of your text questions. You can ask Tony later, but don't harass him too much. Dad's just going to come and quickly just wrap up some stuff. So.
That's fantastic. You can ask, these guys will hang around and have some coffee and you can ask some stuff. I think the main thing coming out of today and for us to think about is that there does come points, there comes points of decision in our lives for all of us. And Jesus said, you can either try to find your life yourself, and if you try to do that, then you'll probably lose what God wants for you. If you try to do it yourself, you say, I'm just going to work this out, I'm just going to live my life for myself, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, then you will probably lose out on what God's got for you. He said, if you try to find your life yourself, you will lose it. But he said, if you will lose your life for my sake and for the gospel, then you'll find it. And I think what we've heard today, both this morning and tonight, from a guy who many years ago made a decision and said, I'm going to actually lose my own life in order that I might serve God. And in doing so, he's actually found his life. In the first place, he found a wife by doing that. And then he took his kids and they found a whole mission that God had for them to do. But it all began by saying, I am not going to try to do this myself. I'm going to set my agenda now to lose my life for God's sake. Not to be killed by somebody, not to die, but I'm going to lose my control of my life. I'm going to just give it away, and I'm going to say, God, it's yours. And in doing so, he's found what God has called him to do. Now, my experience is that for every person, there comes that time where they say, if they're going to serve God, if they're going to really find what they're meant to do, there comes that time where they say, okay, God, it's no longer about me. It's no longer about me getting what I want. It's now about me serving you. And from this point on, I'm going to serve you. And those people that do that, whether they work in secular work, whether they work for the church, whatever they do, but those people that do that, they find their life. They find the life that God has given for them. And I have a feeling tonight that God is speaking to a whole heap of people. And for some of you, there's a point of decision that says, now's the time where I'm going to say, God, it's your life. You do whatever you want. And some of you maybe have not made that decision before, and some of you have made that decision before, but you're at a point in your life now where it's time to stand up and to say, God, it's yours. I'm letting you do whatever you want to do. I'm going to give up all the pushing and shoving and carry on, and I'm going to let you now do what you want to do. And I wonder if the guys would come. Why don't we stand together? We're just going to pray for people tonight. And as they're just starting to play some nice, quiet, responding music, I'm sure that's in the repertoire somewhere. I just really feel tonight, I knew God just put on my heart as we were preparing, and while the sharing was going on, I just knew that God was speaking into a few people and saying to you, it's time tonight just to step up and to say, God, you can do whatever you want to do with my life. Some of you sense a call to the mission field. Some of you sense a call that it's, you know, got to step out of normal sort of work life and God's got something else for you. Some of you, you have a real conviction that you've sort of been living for yourself in your work life, and it's time to step that up and to say, God, you've got a mission for me right here. I don't need to go to Thailand. I don't need to give up my job. In fact, right here in the job, you're calling me to be your servant. And there's some people here tonight, and you've got that on your heart, and you know that it's time to step up and to say, I need to take a stand for that. And I'm going to ask you to do exactly that, to come out the front, take a stand. I'm going to ask Tony and Ned and Heather and some of our leaders, as people come, I'm going to ask them to just pray for you, to simply lay her hands on you and to just pray that God would help you and strengthen you in that decision, whether it means to a life of mission field, whether it means a life of serving him in your work, whatever it means, doesn't matter. But they're going to pray for you to have that same spirit that we've heard from tonight and this morning. So why don't we open our hearts to the Lord right now? Thank you, Father God. We bless you, Lord Jesus. If God's been speaking to you today about that, and you know it's time just to really take a step up in serving him and honoring him, why don't you raise your hands right now? Just raise your hand right now. Amen. You guys are doing that. Why don't you just come straight out the front. Just come straight out the front. Take that stand. I know God's calling people to serve him tonight. He's calling people to real life of service for him. And I think there's going to be people here going to end up on the mission field around the world. There's people who are going to build our church right here. There's people who are going to make a difference in their workplace. Just move right across there, guys, so there's plenty of room. Open your heart to it right now. One of our leaders would start coming. Tony and Annette, would you come? Just go down and pray for it. We don't need to hear a lot of stuff or talk to people. Just pray. Everyone's here to commit themselves afresh to the purpose of God. We've got cell leaders here. Why don't you come pray? Just pray for somebody. Just start praying for them. Father God, we open our hearts to you tonight. We've come here tonight to say, God, it's yours. My life is yours. You can do whatever you want. I'm here to be obedient to you. I'm here to be responsive to your call. Whatever you tell me to do, wherever you tell me to go, that's what I'm about. And I don't want to be caught up with anything else. I don't want to be distracted by anything else in life. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I want it to be sold out for you, for your purpose and for your glory. I want to bring honor to your name. That's my prayer. That's my desire tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. These guys are going to lead us, do whatever. And we're going to just pray for people tonight. Thank you, Lord.